Hello and welcome back to the Holy Health Podcast. I am Mitch and I am here to welcome you to opening your heart to your mind, body, and spirit. And I'm joined here with my beautifully amazing, wonderful, tremendous fiance, Amanda. How are you doing today?
I am pretty good. Got in a workout this morning. Had some breakfast, and now here we are. How are you?
Pretty good. What'd you have for breakfast?
I had an amazing breakfast that you made, which any breakfast, any meal that I don't have to make is amazing. So, but this was actually really good. We had rice, pork, which I don't typically eat, but I did today, steak, and like mixed vegetables, different vegetables, peppers, mushrooms, broccoli.
Onion. PMOs.
Broccoli. There we go. Perfect.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was really good. But
good. Yeah, I am pretty good, I would say. I was, I think I had a pretty tough week.
For sure.
A work week. And I was feeling a lot of that on... Is that Monday or Tuesday?
Monday night.
Yeah. Just like a lot of work stress and pressure and responsibility and state of the world. It just feels like I'm bearing the weight of a lot of that. And, you know, that could be like within my own mind. I'm like creating that responsibility for myself. But also at the same time, it is like part of my responsibility as a man. And I think like collectively, you know, like the alpha male collective mind feels a lot of this tension that's happening. And I was a part of that, I think. I think there's something in the air. We might cover that later. But I think energetically there was something going on in the air. And I was definitely feeling that. And very interesting struggle. So yeah, I guess it would be kind of stressful week for me. But moving on, and I think gained a new perspective on things from it. And be more appreciative to other people's existence.
There you go. Yeah. So how do you think, I think it's interesting that like you struggled like mentally, emotionally this week, and me still struggling physically. So it's like a good balance of like struggle that we've been experiencing. Because for the most part, I've been mentally okay, but physically I'm still like, When's it gonna shift? But
that does affect your mental state.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But I'm just used to it, I guess, at this point. Like throughout the day, like this morning, I was like, "Oh no, I don't want to like do anything." But then, like, we came here and I got in a workout, and now I'm like good for the most part. Mentally and emotionally, but I'm sure like it will shift. It always shifts throughout the day. Like I go through like, I'm like on a roller coaster all day long just because like the physical health that I'm experiencing. But gonna do some testing next week and see what is up. But for you, so you were like having a tough time. What kind of tips can you give to maybe like other guys or women out there who are struggling mentally and emotionally currently? Like what helped you the most?
Good question. I'm not sure. I think it's going to be very different for everybody and how they would hold true to themselves. And like what they give power to. Because, like, for me, I have my spiritual beliefs and my faith to kind of like hold strong. And some people don't have that. And I think that's probably why a lot of people are susceptible to like suicide and those very negative thoughts. And so I'm very thankful that I have strong faith and a relationship with God. Because if I didn't, I don't know how I would be able to like pivot from certain negative thoughts and like actions in my life and different things like that. So I would say that's kind of number one, but I don't really know the answer to that question. Cause I think I'm still figuring it out and I'm still working through a lot of things, but just from like what other people say and like the circles that I'm in, I think it's important for men to have a sense of purpose. And, you know, in today's world, we don't really have that. I mean, you can create your own sense of purpose as a man, and like, yeah, it's, you can do that. But like, if you're not motivated in that space of like being an entrepreneur or being on your own or creating your own thing, then you're part of like the system and you're a part of the all the moving cogs in the system, and you're just like, you're just a cog in the system or a worker bee, and you're a part of the hive. And I think that's kind of like very susceptible to those negative thoughts, because you know, you go to work and you check the boxes, you clock in, you clock out, you do the same thing over and over again, and you can lose track of your sense of purpose as a man, especially if like your woman or your partner or whatever is, you know, maybe like making more money than you, or they are supporting the family more than you are, or like there's some type of the masculine and feminine roles that's not aligned properly, that really weighs on the male figure in the house. And I don't think that's good for men. And I think this all boils down to like the realization that I had about men are very emotionally weak and women are physically weak. And I think that's like part of the balance of masculine and feminine energies and different things like that. Like men are just very emotionally not there, and we don't really know how to handle our emotions. We're not really taught that. It's not expressed or normalized to be emotional or cry or show feelings or showing love, different things like that. And we don't know how to communicate the emotions that we are having. And, you know, that never ends well. Whenever you can't properly communicate what you're feeling towards somebody that you love or out into the world with people that you're interacting with, that creates a lot of tension just because of lack of communication. So yeah, I think there's just so much that goes into like the male and the state of the world currently. So I think it's a very touchy time right now. And I know Sean Whalen was kind of just talking about this. You showed me the post that he made. And it was so weird that like I was feeling the same things, like probably while he was feeling the same things. And he didn't even make the post yet, you know? So like collectively, like as the male masculine force, we're all feeling and we're all tuning into that same thing, that same frequency or vibe or whatever you want to call that. And to be able to know how to take that and then send it out into the world into a positive action and a positive force is where like the magic is at.
That's right.
Yeah. So like I don't know. It's just so, because like Sean Whalen was saying that, like, hey, take a second and just like reach out to a brother or, you know, one of your best friends, your best buddies, male, and like just tell them that you love them and just like say, hey, man, I'm here for you. I appreciate you. You're awesome. You know, blow them up, make their heads big, and let them know that you love them. And that's like the same feeling that I was feeling.
And that's what you did. I don't remember if I saw that post like Monday or like it was around the same time that like you reached out to a friend and basically did the same thing and you had no idea about the post at that time.
Right. So it's
It is
super weird.
crazy.
Super weird. And that's why I say there's something in the air. Like, I don't know, like we talk about a lot of energetics and spiritual stuff on the podcast. And I think this is just another anecdotal truth of like the things that we talk about are true and real. And like, you know, how is it that I was feeling and experiencing the same exact thing that Sean Whalen, who lives, where does he live?
Utah.
Utah or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got millions of followers.
I don't know. I don't think he
Is
has
he up to a
millions of
million?
followers. I don't know. He has a big following. I don't know if
Yeah,
it's millions. I don't
he's
think,
a
but
millionaire at least,
yeah.
and he doesn't know me. I don't know him. So how is it that we're both experiencing the same exact feelings?
Yeah, you live pretty different lives.
Yeah.
And like if you read the comments on that post, I can link it down below. But if you read the comments, like so many guys are commenting like, oh, I'm feeling the same way. Oh, I needed this, like resonating with what he was saying. And it's really interesting because like you had a very similar experience.
Very emotional. And yeah, I think kind of like just to reiterate that, if you haven't done that with one of your guy friends or a man or somebody, some man in your life, a best friend or whatever,
Reached out to them.
definitely reach out and just share some love. Let them know that they're loved and that they're important and that their life matters and all the things. It's really important, especially right now. The state of the world is very heavy,
For
very
sure.
heavy.
Yeah. So like I know you, I just asked that question, you were like, I don't know, but do you have any like energetic practices to like protect your energy? Like, 'cause I think everybody knows I'm pretty big on that. Like, do you do anything, or is there anything you've been thinking about maybe you need to like protect your energy in different ways? Like, what would that look like for you if you did
Protect
that?
my energy. I think that I don't know if I do a lot of protecting of my energy, but at the same time, I think I am protected because of my faith and, you know, the things that I pray to God and conversations that I have with Him. I believe that He protects me and, like, keeps me guarded, and I would say that's probably the extent of my practice. So I don't really like put up any shields or anything like that. And I would say I'm very hard on myself. And I'm interested to know if other people experience the same thing, like men specifically. I'm sure women do too, but like, doesn't matter what I do, I still don't feel like I'm doing enough. Like I could be maxing out. Like right now I'm doing 75 hard, phase one. And like it's hard. Like I'm constantly doing something and like I'm productive as you can possibly be. And I still don't feel like I'm doing enough. Like I don't feel like I'm there. And I don't know like what that's coming from, and I'm interested if other people experience that too. And if you do, reach out, let us know, because I don't know, I'm just very curious if that is a thing and if that's normal or not. I don't want it to be a normal thing. I don't think it should be a normal thing, but I'm sure other people feel that way. So yeah, let me know if I'm alone on this or not.
I mean, I don't think you are. I don't know. Like, I think it, there's a difference between, like, we've talked about this, being productive, working smarter, and working harder. And a lot of people, myself included, work harder and just like basically are like spinning their wheels, like trying to do all of the things. Because when you're doing all of the things, you feel productive. You feel like you're like making moves, but sometimes scaling it back and working in a different way and tweaking that is the most productive thing you can do to like propel yourself forward. But it's like, as a society, we are so go, go, go. And it's like, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm so busy. How are you? And it's like we glamorize like being busy and filling our schedules and our days and working really, really hard and lacking sleep and just basically killing ourselves to like be quote unquote successful or busy or to show other people that we're like worthy of what we have or what we want.
I think sleep is a big one for me too right now.
For sure, you're very lacking of sleep.
And I think that could have been why I was experiencing some of those negative thoughts. Just because like sleep is super important. If you're not getting enough sleep, especially quality sleep, it'll present itself in any way that it wants to.
Oh yeah, I can mess you up.
So I think that definitely played a role in that because I was not sleeping very well or not getting enough sleep. I mean, for weeks. I just
Basically all
don't.
summer.
Yeah.
You're up till 1 a.m. and you wake up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, so I probably consistently get like five, six, probably my weekly average is probably 6 hours of sleep, which isn't that bad, but you know, that's an average. So like some nights I'm getting like 4 or 5 or less or something. And then
Yeah.
other days I'm getting like 7, 8 or like Wednesday I wanted to get a lot of rest and I slept like 10 hours.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, and like sleep is like so important for like mind, body, and spirit. And it's like when we compromise on that, which I used to be such a good sleeper, and then the mold like totally screwed me up. And now I'm finally getting to a place where I'm a lot better with it, but I'm not where I used to be yet. But I think like you don't realize how much you need that consistent like 8 hours until you're getting that consistent 8 hours again. And then it's like here and there you can like get like a lot less. Like for me, if I'm sleeping consistently 8 hours and then there's a night where I get 4 or 5 hours, it doesn't have any effect on me. I can just like, I'm like, oh, I'm great. And then I go to sleep again the next night and it's like, okay, we're good. But I think like prioritizing that is like wrapped up with like your need to be constantly busy. 'Cause it's like you're working like super late, you're up super early, you're trying to fit all of these things into your day, and it's like I understand everybody has a lot going on, but like most people don't have that much going on that they can't prioritize at least 7 hours of sleep. Like nobody is really, none of us are really that important that we can't prioritize that for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where that's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, and like I said, like sometimes it doesn't happen, but like if you're consistent with it for the most part, then when it doesn't happen, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like who, nobody gets like 8 hours of sleep every single night of their life.
Which is weird because, like, you know, we're the only creatures on Earth that consistently violate the laws of nature. And go against our natural circadian cycles. And that's a huge health issue.
Yeah, and then we wonder why we're mentally and physically sick. And it's like, well, you've slept 5 hours for the past 3 months and you're running yourself ragged in all these other areas and you have all of this like modern world stress happening. Of course you're sick.
Mental health is super trendy right now. Well, especially, you know, in the lefty community, which is interesting because it's almost like a hijacking of like who needs it the most, which is males. And I don't think that's talked about a lot. I think, you know, like I said, the lefties kind of, they took away like the importance of that mental health structure to like people that actually need it. And they like associate it with all the people that are like, oh yeah, I'm a boy, but I identify as a woman or whatever, like all the transgender issues and stuff like that. Like that, the mental health movement has shifted over to them and it takes away from the people that actually need it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would say that men need it more than women though, because like we deal with our own struggles, which is like having to be in that masculine role all of the time and not having like that masculine, not that you don't have a masculine partner, but like the masculine partner who can provide all of those roles for you. So you're put into this masculine role too. And then you have like the aspect of like being a woman in the male structure of society and trying to balance all of that. Like that takes not only a hit on your physical health, but like also your mental health. So like, I think both men and women need more mental health awareness or whatever, just in different ways. Like it looks different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I might've misspoke if I said one or the other needs it more, but like, I think it's a very important thing that, like I said, has gotten hijacked to not be associated with like the normal person.
Yeah, and like especially like I understand the aspect of like the white male. Like the white male is like demonized.
Conservative
white male especially is like very demonized and like you're just hated by a lot of society or like talked down upon by a lot of society. And it's like very interesting. But I think a lot of people who are speaking about like mental health and big supporters of watering that issue are also the ones that are like demonizing the conservative white male. And then it's like, well, what does that do to his mental health?
Right. It's because like, you know.
Oh boy, here we go.
I don't know. I was going to say something, but I won't.
No?
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that for sure. They steal it. That gets into like the state of the world, like the conspiratorial topics.
We don't believe in conspiracy theories here.
Yeah, it's because mine came true. That's one of our employees in the restaurant was like, you know what? I need to make a t-shirt that says, I need new conspiracy theories because mine came true.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many conspiracies are actually conspiracies these days?
Well, probably not a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, we're living a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Like the word, like that's a whole nother thing. The word conspiracy theory was like created and tagged in like the late 60s or 70s, whenever they were doing like MK Ultra stuff, because people were coming out and saying they were talking about like a conspiracy and using that word. And then like they created conspiracy theory as a phrase to call somebody like tinfoil hat or label you crazy. Because if you're a conspiracy theorist, you're crazy. That's like the label that phrase holds, because it was created that way on purpose. It was a created phrase whenever things started to come out and people were starting to speak against it early on. And so they were like, okay, well then let's create this other word that fights against that narrative. And now we win. So it's basically like a word battle. And now if you ask any type of question against the science, you're a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. And you're a tinfoil hat wearing nut job.
Yeah.
So like, anyways, the conspiracy of like the male figure, I think everybody can agree that society in America specifically has been attacked in the family level. Like, they've been trying to divide the American family, like the traditional, like male, female, and two kids, the nuclear family, right? That was like a thing. It was in all the TV shows. It was standard, like husband, wife stays at home, male figure goes works, comes home from work. You have dinner as a family, you sit down, you talk, and then you spend the rest of the night at home and you do your thing or whatever. Like, that was like the standard. And it's been under attack basically since it started. Like, that was like normal. And like, that was a natural thing that happened. And then I was like, oh, well, we can't allow that to happen because then the family unit is too strong and we can't divide the future generations to fight against the current generations so that we can create our own plan and mold and indoctrinate these children into fighting against what their parents' values are. So now that we can basically manipulate society and control as many people as we can. And that's like the main goal, is to control every single aspect of your life. And what way do you do that? You get rid of the alpha male. So if the alpha male doesn't exist in society, the society crumbles. There's no authoritarian figure except for Uncle Sam, big government, or whoever's in charge. Maybe it's communism or socialism or whatever it is. But whoever's in charge gets to tell you exactly what you can do, every aspect of your life. You want to drive a car? Can't drive today. The temperature outside is too hot. We're having an energy crisis. Oh, yeah, we're going to shut off your heat today because we don't have enough fossil fuels to burn because carbon emissions or whatever. Total control of your finances, social credit score. I saw you got turned in on the social credit score app that you littered, and that's minus 3 points. So we're going to take $300 out of your bank account. And you don't have a say in anything. And boom, snap of a finger, your money is controlled. Your ability to travel everywhere is controlled. Everything about your life is controlled. And that's the name of the game. That's what they want to do. That's what their end goal is. And like, if we continue as men specifically to allow this to happen and just like stand by and let them control everything and not stand up and confront and have conflict, arguments, then it's going to happen. But like, we can definitely unite and have awareness that, okay, this is a thing, and we can stand up against that, take back control of the alpha male figure and the masculine energy, and we don't have to worry about those problems. But I don't know how optimistic I am about that.
I don't think you're very optimistic, because you've never really been optimistic about that. And I think, would you agree?
I would agree, yeah.
Okay. I keep talking. when I needed to be very invested in the state of the world stuff, I was, because it was like trying to go out to eat and I'm not wearing a mask and I'm just trying to go in here and I'm not doing this. Like, I was very outspoken about it back when I needed to be, but like, I currently don't need to be because I don't really experience that anymore. And I think it takes like a huge hit on your mental health, because it's like all doom and gloom. You're like, oh, here we are. Like, things aren't back to normal. Like, we're going down this road where we're going to have this social credit score.
There'll never be a new normal.
Well, I know. Yeah.
I
hate that phrase, but like, yeah. It's like, okay, like things aren't like they used to be.
They never will be.
And yeah. And then you think about all of that and it's like, how can you not like get all bent out of shape?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very positive thing, because like, things will never be how they used to be, but they're not better either. They're worse. So it's like, yeah, you think about that and you focus on all of that, and then boom, you're like down in the dumps. And so I've really scaled back from like investing any time and energy into that. Like, I go out in the world and like, as long as I'm not bothered, like I don't care. Like, it's just, it's how it is. And like, I'm more like taking care of my mental state than like trying to like spread the message that everybody else needs to like wake up. Where was I going with this?
Men's health, maybe?
Men's health.
State of the world, doom and gloom.
Oh, stuff? You were never really positive about this to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So like I think that you see like on Instagram the people that you follow, you see a lot of like conspiracy stuff, like things that aren't necessarily like positive. And like for me, I used to follow a lot of health accounts, and because like my health is not great physically, and so I'd be like, oh, like I need to follow all of these accounts because I'm learning so much, and there is a ton of great information on a lot of these accounts, and it got to the point where every time I'm opening Instagram, I'm just like bombarded with like, okay, like is your water filter the best? Here's the best water filters. Here's the best air purifiers. Here's some information about mold and like how it's going to kill you. Like it's just all like really great information, but it's like when you're scrolling on Instagram, you're pretty much like subconsciously doing it. You're not really, most people aren't very present when they're on Instagram. And so you're just like taking in all this information and it's like very unfiltered and you don't really have a lot of control over what you're going to see next when you're scrolling. And I think you see a lot of like negative stuff and then like you get all wrapped up in that and create like this negative spiral. So I think it's like how can we, which I don't know the answer, but like how can we be aware, bring awareness to this and like keep talking about it and like helping others either like feel like they're not the only ones like thinking about it or worrying about it. And also educating other people who maybe aren't aware of it yet, which I don't know how that is even possible at this point, but maybe that's a thing. So it's like, how do you balance that? Like, okay, like we're going to still be talking about this and aware of it without like spiraling ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think to be fair, with my social media stuff, I don't really see a whole lot of that other stuff that I used to follow a lot. Cause I don't like it anymore. So the only posts that I see are ones that I like consistently. So I've been seeing a lot more positive things.
Good.
Which is good. And more like educational stuff from different people that you've showed me and that I've started following. And so, yeah, I don't think that would be why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. But
I don't think it's why you're feeling the way you're feeling right now. But I think like just with the state of the world stuff, like when we like talk about it a lot and it's like, oh, we're all screwed. Everything's screwed.
I think it's just like it's a huge responsibility and everything's so different now in this modern life that we live. Because if you think about like, let's say in the American Revolution, I always go back to this and I always think about like, well, how did they do it? You know? And they wanted to revolt against England, right? Because England was in control of the colonies and everything over here at first. And we were having a lot of problems and we wanted to be our own independent thing away from England. So we organized together and started a war. And I always think about that in today's scenario and how that would look. And I can never see it. I can never have that like experience of like, this can work or this will happen. Just because of the like how things are. And you know, back then there was no technology, so how did people organize? They would meet at your local town hall. Maybe they would send messages with a scroll on somebody's on a horse, and that person would travel to the next town and they would slowly form like this giant militia group and eventually gather as like one united person and met up in some spot and like started going to war. So like I think about like, okay, how would that happen now? You know, could you really do it over the internet? Because then everybody sees that. So obviously the government probably is not going to like that idea as, you know, an organizing force against you on the internet. You would probably ban that and block that and shut it down. Are people really going to be sending letters? Are you going to be how are we communicating with each other to like actually form a group and like do something? So I always think about that, and I don't ever see that happening. And another point that I always think about is like a statistic was during the American Revolution, only one third of people were like, yes, let's do it. And then the other two thirds was like, eh, I'm pretty neutral. And then, you know, the other third of that two third was like, no way, I'm totally fine with how everything is. You guys are crazy. I don't want anything to do with that. So I think there's like a universal like one third rule on like that's going to be like the group of people that can actually unite and do something. So that kind of like speaks to the, oh, you know, I got to wake everybody up. We're not going to wake everybody up. We're not going to be able to get everybody on the same page. We're not like in the beginning, I was like very about like unifying as like one group together. Like we got to settle our differences and come together as one. Never going to happen.
No way.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Nope.
I think it's continuing to create more of a divide. And that's what Jesus says too. Jesus didn't come to earth to bring peace, but a sword. And he says that he divides brother against brother, family against family, literally everything. So Jesus actually came to create more division. And so I think that kind of speaks to like the future momentum of where things are going to be going. But yeah, kind of like back to the men. So like as men, I think we all feel that. We feel that energy and like the need to do something. Like deep within our soul, we know that we're destined for greatness. Like if you're listening to this and you've been experiencing any type of negative feelings, like, you know, no matter what you do, it doesn't feel like you're doing enough or whatever. It's probably because we're destined for like something way bigger, and like that hasn't happened yet. Like we're not in that spot of like our destiny, so to speak.
Do you think it could be that, and or just like the unnatural state of living in the modern world? So like we're living so disconnected from like how we were meant to be living. Do you think that could play a role into it too?
Yeah, I think it does too, but I think also it's just kind of like time. And I think time is super important. It's like the controller of all things. And I always like whenever people say, you know, you were born for this time for a reason. So like, you know, everything is screwed, to say the least. Like the state of the world,
I don't think so. Go ahead.
maybe not screwed, but
No.
the state of the world is, let's say, messed up right now. And if you are existing currently in this time, you were destined to exist during this time. So like that creates an empowering thought of like, oh, I'm here for a reason. Like I'm existing in this current space and time for a reason. Like I'm not just like this wasn't just like luck or like coincidence that like, oh, you know, why couldn't I have been born 30 years ago and I wouldn't have to deal with any of this crap? Like you're here for a purpose to make some type of difference for some reason. And like figuring that out, I think is like the key, and could be like the tension that I feel as well. Like if any other men are feeling that type of way, trying to figure out the purpose of why we are here during this time.
So, what's your purpose?
I don't know. I feel like I'm always like thinking about like warrior mentality.
Yeah, I hate these ideas.
And I don't know, I resonate a lot with like going to battle and war and like fighting and stuff. Which is weird because I've never done any of that. Like I've never been in a fist fight like with a person. Like I punched somebody one time in the face and like it was like the dumbest thing ever. So I've never like been in an actual fight, but like I always think about that type of stuff, which is weird.
Yeah, I'm not a
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of like where I'm at, I guess. But yeah, men in the state of the world, it's a lot of responsibility. Finding your purpose. I don't know what that would be exactly for me.
You don't know what your purpose is?
I have those thoughts of like, I think I know, but do I know? I don't know. It's hard to like, I don't know if I really feel the connection to some of the things that I say now about myself, like what my purpose is currently, like what I tell myself my purpose is.
Like it was your purpose at one point, and now your purpose is kind of like shifted or transformed, or you have like a greater sense of clarity of like who you are and like the life you want to live. So your purpose is like different.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's like transforming and.
And you feel like attached to like your previous purpose because it's like, this was my purpose.
Right.
This was supposed to be the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're having a little therapy session.
Whoa. I mean, I like for me, so like I used to have a food blog. It was called Create and Plate. And like I built that thing up for years and like I worked a lot on that. And it was a vegan food blog recipe place. And when I stopped being vegan, or when I started to think about not being vegan anymore, I pretty much lost the interest in it. And I had a really hard time giving it up. And I like never could delete it. And then last year we started Holy Health, and I didn't renew the website, my Create and Plate website. And so it's just sat for like 2 years, I think. And like in the
Limbo.
behind the curtain of the internet. And recently I've been very called to like start writing again, and like Instagram just doesn't feel right to me. Like
Instagram is bullshit.
I like get mentally messed up when I think about writing on Instagram. Like I just there's a block there. And you can't write as much as that. Like I want to write like a book. I don't want to be writing like however many characters you have to write on Instagram. I always like write too much and then I have to edit it and it takes forever. So I was like, oh, I don't want to use Instagram. I don't really like care for it much anyways, sharing in that way. I think it's very much instant gratification, and I'm looking for people who like actually want to read things that I write. And so I was like, oh, I'll just like get Create and Plate back out from behind the curtain. And so because it's like I've had so much of my life on there for like 10 years now. I've documented most of my life other than the past 2 years, which is so interesting. I wish I kind of would have done it, but I didn't. But so I was like, I just a continuation of like my journey, I guess. And so I got it out and I've been writing on it, and it's like I don't think it'll ever be what it was, but it's almost like I'm coming back to like, because for a while I was like veganism and like sharing vegan recipes and stuff is like my purpose, and like living like a very clean and holistic lifestyle in that way. Like I do yoga, I meditate, I eat vegan food, and I share all of the recipes and stuff. Like that was like my thing. That was my purpose, to share that with everybody. And so it's like, okay, I'm not vegan anymore. I don't really want to share recipes, especially in the amount that I was sharing. But I'm coming back to like that space of like the core of what I was doing years ago. And I'm like allowing it to mold into something new, because like I'm such a new person at this point too. Like I'm not the same person I was in 2019, And I think like you experienced that too. Like in 2019, you were like this person, and now it's 2022, almost 2023, and you're like somebody else. And it's like, okay, like this was my purpose in 2019, and I was like going strong. And then like all of these things happened, and now I'm not that person, and like now what do I do? And it's like I had to take like such a huge step back from it, which I'm sure everybody's process is different, but I had to take such a huge step back from it to like even feel remotely interested in like turning it into something new, like transmuting that energy of like, ugh, yuck, I don't want to deal with that. It's terrible. What am I doing with my life? All of these things. Like to transmute that energy, I had to like sit with it for like a period of time before I was like, oh, I need to be writing. I need to be sharing, and I need to be doing it in this way that I used to do, but also in such a different way.
So I think that's a really good point that you brought up. Because we've talked about that a lot, and
The 2019,
like the transitioning.
like you're a new person. Like, I don't think there's anybody listening to this that is the same person that they were in 2019.
Probably not.
Like, not at all.
No. And I think that could be where a lot of struggle is coming from. Because in the personal development community, they tell you, you're not supposed to be the same person forever. Like you're constantly changing, but like you're not changing your whole
Life.
perception of your existence. And I think like a lot of people are going through that type of transformation. And I know for me, that's kind of like what I've kind of gone through is 2019. I had totally different thoughts, totally different awareness to things than I do now. And now, like, everything's just totally different. Like, my whole life is different.
Same.
And I can't explain it enough, like, to really describe how different it is. But, like, everything is different, nothing
Literally.
is the same.
Literally.
There's no normal. Nothing is normal.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, it's like, okay, so from 2019, rewind to like literally when you were born, like, you lived like a quote unquote normal life. And then it's like 2020 happens and like everything explodes. And it's like anything that was like your life is no longer your life for a period of time at least. Like every single thing is completely different. And it's like not only is everything different, but you have all of the things attached to like that change. Like internally, externally with other people or with your work circumstances or with whatever else is happening in your life, like everything is like twisted. It's like an alternate reality that we were like burst into. And it's like navigating all of that when nobody has really navigated it before. And still 2 years later, not like I guess coming to terms with the fact that like it will never be the way it was in 2019 ever again. And like accepting that and recognizing like how much you've changed in that time, not because like for us, we're very much like we do things to change us. Like we do 75 hard. We work out. We started Holy Health and we do this podcast. Like we do things to like grow and evolve and change us, but like we did not sign up for that. Like
No.
we signed up for all of these things that we're doing. Like you were like, I'm gonna start phase one. I'm gonna do 75 hard. Like you signed up for that, and this we didn't sign up for it. So it's like bringing you have to bring acceptance into like this happened and this like changed everything, and like I didn't want this to happen, and like it ruined a lot of relationships, friendships, it made a lot of things very awkward. Small businesses are screwed up, like everything is like off, and it's like, well, that's how it's gonna be. Who knows how long? Like that, this is the reality. So it's like accepting that reality while also understanding how you've changed, accepting that, and figuring out what to do with it. It's like a lot.
It's a massive, it's a wall, it's a mountain, it's a barrier,
So maybe that's where you're at.
it's crazy. I mean, I think so too, definitely some parts of it,
Yeah.
and yeah, I don't know, good. It's just crazy. Crazy to think about. Why does it have to be that way?
See, you can't bring that acceptance in. You have to bring that acceptance.
I don't want to accept it. I want to go back to normal. I want to change all this crap.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really struggle with that at this point. I did for a while, but it's like everything happens for a reason. I hate that saying, but like it's very true. And it's like everything lined you up to like be in this moment. And maybe this moment's not ideal and where you want to be, but it's like leading you to the ideal moments where you want to be. If you can bring in the acceptance and proceed down the path, even when it's challenging and hard and sucks.
Embrace the suck.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't want to embrace the suck though. Like, what? For who?
For yourself.
Yeah, but what's, like, it didn't change for me.
What didn't change?
The state of the world. Like, it.
What do you mean it didn't change?
There's been, like, it was a deliberate plan of action for this to change. Like, this wasn't, like, something that was, like, a natural course. I mean, I guess it depends on how you think about it. But, like, there was a malicious intent to create this change in the course, and that's where I have a problem.
For sure, there was malicious intent, and it's like, okay, so there was altering from various sources to make this happen. It was very planned, and you know that. And it's like, if you know that and you let it affect you and like crumble you down, then they win. But if you know that and you take it and you're like, okay, well, like, I'm not 2019 Mitch, but I'm 2022 Mitch. And like, this is what I'm going to do with everything that I've been through and learned and dealt with over the past 2 years. And then you let it take you higher and you win. And they just are what they are. But you personally win. You pursue that personal excellence and you win. And you win in a different way than you could have in 2019 because like you didn't go through all of the things that you went through. Like, yeah, I didn't know you in 2019, but like, I don't think you had like the depth and the substance that you have now.
No.
Like there was not the deepness, like the introspection, like the awareness that you have now.
No.
And it's like, what a gift to get that.
For sure.
He hates me right now.
I've been saying it like the past week, adapt and overcome. But like, how much are we willing to adapt to be able to overcome? Like when is the line where it's like, okay, I can't adapt anymore. Like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to adapt to this situation so that I can overcome this obstacle, or else, like, I'm going to have to, like, change. Like, something has got to give for this to actually be able to adapt to so that I can overcome it. Like, there's, like, specific things happening that are massive barriers that are being set for a reason. And, like, there's only so much that you can do to adapt and overcome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, like you're saying that you have circumstances in your life where it's, like, quote-unquote bad things keep happening. Challenging things keep coming up. And you're like, okay, we have to pivot. We have to adapt to this. We have to change something so that we can move forward and overcome this challenge. And like that keeps happening? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for that, I think you can look at it two different ways. Like, I would look at it two different ways. So I would look at it as like, we always are adapting and overcoming things in life, like constantly, small things, big things. And it's like, how are you viewing that? And like, are you truly interested in doing that? So like for me, like, Okay, I have like this popping hip issue thing that I've had for like a long time. And with yoga, like it was like constant. When I was doing a lot of hip opening, like I'm very flexible in my hips. When I was doing a lot of hip opening, it was like extreme. Lots of popping. And it's like, okay, adapt and overcome. I'm not going to go as deep into hip openings. Okay. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to try this differently. It's like I was constantly trying and like nothing was really working. So like I got to the point where I was like, okay, like I'm going to step back from this. I'm not going to do this anymore. Like after talking to you and like the whole thing, like I'm just going to stop doing it. So I think like depending on what it is and how you're looking at it, like you either continue to adapt and overcome and you do it because you want to. Like I wanted to like make yoga work for my hips in the current state that they were in so badly that like I was like altering constantly. I was like, okay, cutting this out, doing this, whatever. Like, and it was frustrating, but it was worth it to me. So it was like the value that I got from doing the yoga was way worth it, more than trying to quit it. But it's like also is I call it the universe. Is the universe trying to send you a message that like you're out of alignment? Because like then I think about like my past relationship, and it's like little small things would happen, and like we weren't like near the end. We weren't. I would say the past or the like a year-ish, the last year that we were together probably-ish, wasn't great, and that I like knew it. But like didn't want to like admit it to myself. And I would be like, okay, it's fine. I'm gonna adapt and overcome type of thing. Like we're good. And it was like the universe was like sending me these messages and like I was ignoring them because like I didn't want to like see them for what they were. And then something like huge happened that I was like, I can't adapt and overcome living in mold and almost dying. And not being believed. So I was like, okay, I'm clearly out of alignment in this relationship. There is no adapting and overcoming. I got the message loud and clear. Universe, God, I got it. I'm out. And then it's like, then it all makes sense once you have some distance from it. Does that make sense? So it's like, and like I know what circumstance you're talking about, and like I don't know. You can look at it a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I don't really know how I would create that distance that you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it's like my livelihood.
Yeah.
So like in order to create distance, I don't think would be purposeful.
Yeah, I mean, like.
It would have to be in a different way. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can talk about this off of the mic more easily, so we're not like trying to speak in
Speaking in code.
codes. But I think like for the most part, like you have two options, but you can like go deeper into the options. So you can do the adapting and the overcoming, or you can like really assess things and take a look. And maybe you're not like breaking up with somebody or like quitting something or whatever it is. Maybe it's like something else that's like a quote unquote big deal, but it's like a big deal in a different way. So like you can look at it as like the universe is sending me this message. Like I keep having to adapt and overcome and like not that things should be easy, but they shouldn't be really hard. Like if you're in a relationship and it's like hard all of the time, like you're probably not in the right relationship. Like you should have some challenging times. And things that you need to like work through and arguments that you have come up, but it shouldn't be hard. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's a different type of harm.
Yeah. Like there, yeah, but like our relationship's relatively easy for the most part, most of the time.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. But like for this, it's like, okay, like your circumstance that you're adapting and overcoming constantly, it should not be this hard. Not you specifically, just you, everybody.
You people.
Yeah.
What do you mean, you people?
It shouldn't be hard. It should be like, all right, like here's a challenge. Maybe I'm only getting 4 hours of sleep this night. and like, oh, this is stressful and really tough, and like all like things happen all of the time. But it's like, are you constantly like butting your head against the wall, or is it like you just, there's a fence you have to step over? Because like there's a big difference between like a big concrete wall and a fence. And it's like recognizing that. And so like if you're constantly butting your head against the wall, then it's like, okay, there's a message that I'm not receiving, and I need to figure out what this message is, so I can look at the message and assess it and see what steps I need to take to bust down this wall and build up a fence that I can step over.
It's a small fence.
Well, jump, crawl, whatever, climb. Something that's not a big concrete wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like that just shows, like, you're out of alignment. If you're constantly butting your head against the wall, you're not in alignment with your purpose and your path. Like, you might be in the realm of it, you might be in the room of it, but like you're not like aligned, or else it would be quote unquote easy.
Not to go off topic here, but I don't know if you guys can hear the bells going off in the background. It's totally ridiculous. There's like
every 15 minutes.
I swear, it's literally like every at least half hour.
Yeah.
Every time there's bells going off.
Yeah.
And then yeah.
It's distracting, because like
it's so annoying.
When I have my client in here, I'd be like, oh, I can know what time it is because these church bells are going off. And then like they would go off, and then they go off again, and I'm like, there's no way it's been like half hour or an hour. There's no way. And it was like every 15 minutes. I'm like, I can't keep track of that and work with her at the same time. I think
they're 15 minutes apart, those two that go off all the time. Mm-hmm. But one goes off at the hour, and then the other one goes off at like quarter after or something.
Yeah.
Or like half hour later.
So that's the bell situation.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Anyways.
The window is slightly open, so it's probably coming through a little bit more than usual. But yeah, fresh air is nice.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes.
The cement wall.
Shouldn't be hard.
Being out of alignment. I don't know if I agree with that statement.
Interesting.
The whole out of alignment thing.
You don't like that.
Talk about. Saying. Yeah. I think...
Too woo-woo.
I don't know if it's woo-woo or if it sounds like punishment to me.
I don't think it's punishment. It's so interesting that you would say that, because you use words that I'm like, ugh, like that would sound like punishment. Like, that gross me out.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think it's punishment. I think it's like a gift. Oh, there are more bells. I think it's a gift. It's like the best thing that can happen, because like if you're connected and in tune with like the messages that you're receiving, then you can assess things, you can look at things, and you can make shifts in your life to not make things easier, but make things more fulfilling and more purposeful to you and to the people that you're serving.
Like, yeah,
how do you see it as punishment?
It's easier said than done, because you could be doing all the things right, and then still you're like, well, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I'm doing everything right. And then, like, it still doesn't seem like it's working out.
Maybe it's not supposed to work out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But
and that's, maybe it's a hard choice. Not for you specifically, but, like, maybe whatever you're going through is, like, you're like, okay, like I keep hitting these walls. I keep doing everything right. I keep listening to my messages. I keep doing all these things. And like, I'm still struggling. Well, maybe it could be two things, and you can only determine this. Maybe you're not done going through the struggle, or maybe it's not supposed to work out. And I think it's a lot of times like maybe it's not supposed to work out is like the thing for people, because it's like, okay, if you've like been in a relationship for like years and you're constantly struggling and you're constantly like questioning things and things aren't great, then like maybe it's not supposed to work out. And like having that acceptance that something's not supposed to work out is like terrible, because then you're like, well, then what? Like if this isn't supposed to work out, what does that mean? And maybe it means you just make a small pivot in some way, or maybe it means you burn the whole thing to the ground. I don't, like, it just depends. But I think like, I think that playing with your alignment and being aware of that is like such a gift and a guide to like connect to God and like see if you're on the right path. Not that you're ever on the wrong path, but like if you're on the path that you're supposed to be going on, that you want to be going on, I guess.
Yeah, but I think that's different than like God's path for you. Like what I want and what God wants could be totally different.
They could be, and that's where you could be missing the message.
Yeah.
It could be like, I really want to buy an ice cream. This isn't real. I really want to buy an ice cream shop and work. I want to make it work. I'm going to sell ice cream. I really want to buy this place. And like, you get the money and then something crazy happens. And then like, you get the money again. And then like, you go to buy it and there's like something wrong with the paperwork. And like, all of these things happen. And it's like, okay, like, you really want that currently. But like, you're clearly receiving messages that you shouldn't be doing this thing because all of these things keep popping up. And like, if you pay attention, you can see that. So like, what are you going to do with it? Because like, if you go through with it and you ignore all of those messages, then like, yeah, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. But like, it'll take you down potentially like a challenging path. And it's like you come out on the other side, you grow, and it's amazing. And you'll ultimately get to where you're supposed to be. But it can look completely different if you tune in and tap into those messages that may not make sense. It's like, well, I did all the things to like buy my ice cream shop, and here I am. And like all of these obstacles I've overcome time and time again to get to this place. And it's like, okay, like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do this if I keep bumping into all of these things. Like, I think about like the house, the mold house that we bought. So like on the day of closing, like three different things happened that were like not terrible, but like not good. Like there were signs. There were signs that like the paper should not have been signed. But like we went through with it because it was like, okay, like we've been looking for a house for like months. We finally found this one and it's like great and we really like it. And we're just going to ignore all of these messages that were very clear now looking back, and we're going to move in. And it's like, okay, we did that. And then like, I almost died and we broke up and I still am struggling with my health and like all of these things. But like, that was exactly where I was supposed to be because then I met you and like everything worked out. And like, now I feel like I'm like getting back on path. But like for a long time there, I was like, I'm like pounding against the wall.
Yeah.
That was a big ramble. I don't know if any of it makes sense.
No, it was good. I was tracking with you there. I don't know where to go from there exactly, but
I don't think there's like a right or a wrong answer with the alignment thing. I think it's just like a good way to like guide yourself and to like strengthen your intuition and like connect with like the messages that you receive from God. And mm-hmm. like be led from there. I guess that's the takeaway. To be led from that space versus like your logical, analytical, like business mind.
Yeah.
Money mind. Like, oh, well, the message I'm receiving is to like do this thing. But logically, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to do the thing that logically makes sense. I'm going to be led with my brain and not my heart and my intuition. And I think magical, I've seen it and I've done it. Magical things happen when you're led from your heart and not your brain. It's a really hard space to get into though, a lot of the time. But when you can do that, like that's when like the crazy manifestations and magical things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sent you that one post of Naya, what's her name? Anami?
Oh yeah.
Anami.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about the third eye chakra being open and not your heart chakra being open. And I was like, maybe that's something that I didn't do. And I jumped into like the third eye opening.
That's what everybody likes to do.
Yeah.
It's trendy.
It is trendy. And I think, again, it's probably like for a reason, like maliciously intended, like, oh, hey, do this thing instead of that. Because she was saying, like, you know, your third eye is basically to open your perceptions, your perspectives, and your consciousness to, you know, other things. And it can kind of like split worlds and create new worlds. And if your heart chakra is not open properly, which means like you're not truly centered with who you are and like where you're going within yourself, and like love and all that stuff, then you can like have a lot of negative side effects with like having an open third eye and being able to like see the deception and be able to discern what's happening in the world. You can kind of like basically have like a mental breakdown and like psychosis, because you're not like truly being led by the heart and your heart chakra is closed. So that kind of resonated with me a lot. And I was like, maybe that's kind of what I am doing or currently doing or like kind of like working on, is like really trying to like figure out what my heart wants and desires compared to my analytical, logical business mind. I think that's like a big struggle for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think it's tough for anybody. I think it's really tough probably in your circumstance because you're in business with other people. It's not like you just have like your own individual business. Like mm-hmm. there are other people involved with that. And it's like you can easily get wrapped up into like their wants, their needs, their beliefs and everything. And then you don't know what is your own.
Yeah.
And that's like challenging. I mean, that's challenging to do just for the average person because like we're so easily influenced by other people of like feeling like we should want this or we do want this, but we actually don't want it, but we just think we want it because like we saw it on Instagram and like the person that has it like looks like they have a great life. Like getting clear on what you truly want and desire and how you can be led from that heart space instead of focusing so much on that brain and analytical mind, which has a time and place, of course, but like with what we're talking about, like how you can like gain clarity on where you want to go and where your purpose is, like it's not an easy thing to do.
Definitely a lot of thought process, struggle, trial and error. And I think I'm like, I don't know, I understand all of it and like what I want to do and go towards and stuff like that. But there's just so much involved in it. Like there's so much wrapped up in my situation.
Yeah, you have a very unique situation.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I bear a lot of the responsibility of the world on my shoulders. I bear responsibility of other people on my shoulders and myself, and I don't know. It's heavy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty strong, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know where we want to go from here, but I feel like kind of to recap a little bit, we have kind of been talking about mental health more than anything, especially with men, and using my current situation to hopefully relate to other people and if they maybe resonate with some things that I'm going through, hopefully some of the things that we brought up can help. What else? I don't know.
We were going to initially talk about our relationship.
Yeah. We had a plan before the podcast
we
started.
Did.
But
we just were like, how's it going? And then here we are.
Maybe that's how we should start every podcast. Yeah, just start talking. Because it's funny because like in the beginning of our relationship, that's basically what we did. And we would just talk for hours and hours and hours. It would be like 8 hours of just talking. And
talk about sleep deprived. I was sleep deprived last summer.
Yeah, for sure. Like when we first met, me and Amanda would literally like, we wouldn't hang out anywhere except for like my location of business. And
we're in the car. We were in the car.
Yeah, in the parking lot. And we would just sit in the car and we listened to Greta Van Fleet's latest album, Gardens Gate, The Battle of Gardens Gate, on repeat 4 times in a row. And that album's about an hour long. So, yeah, we talked for a very long time.
Yeah.
Just straight up talking. So we're good at that.
I mean, yeah, and I think, like, well, I know that's how our foundation was built.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we get away from that sometimes. And when we do, we can tell. And sure. It's like we spend a decent amount of time together. But we talk a lot about Holy Health, or like we're doing like other things that aren't spending time on a relationship. And when we're not spending that time talking and stuff, we can definitely tell a difference.
Yeah, we start to like split.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we gotta stick to that.
Yeah.
Foundation of talking all the time.
Lots of words.
So yeah, I guess we could probably wrap this up. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
You want to?
Let's do it. Yeah, there's more bells, so I guess
more bells.
It's time.
I guess that's time. The bells are symbolizing.
They're like the wrap end. It up. Yeah. Any closing remarks from you?
Closing remarks for the big strong men out there. Stay strong. I don't know. I guess I just kind of reiterate the struggle. The struggle is real. If you're feeling some type of way like I am, just know you're not alone. I'm sure there's a lot of people in your life that are feeling those feelings and they don't talk about it because they don't want to be viewed as like some pussified man or something, because, you know, us men, we're so sensitive, but we don't want to actually express that. So we put up all these walls and barriers and like create like this hard shell that we're so manly, and we bottle up all of our feelings. But in reality, like, we really want to share those things because we hold on to everything. So don't be afraid to express your true feelings to other men so that we can unlock the alpha male from its cage and let it loose. And I think that is probably one of my main concerns with the state of the world is the big strong men out there are not very big and strong anymore. Not physically, but like mentally. And because it doesn't matter if you're like actually big and strong, but like you have to have like the voice and the energy of being big and strong. So yeah, we have to uncage the alpha man's beast and let it loose on society so we can gain back some type of true reality.
Do you have any advice for women in a relationship with a big, strong alpha male?
Continue to feed his ego to some degree. Make him feel big and strong. let him know like that he is very valuable, and I think men need that a lot more than what they may perceive.
Need like
affirmations.
Yeah.
And validation that they are valuable and appreciated and whatever. But I think, you know, we come off as, well, I don't need all that talk. I'm big and strong. Feelings, what are those? You know? So, like, I think that's all just a facade that we put on to, like, safeguard ourselves. So, yeah, make your man feel like he's big and strong. That's only going to help the relationship because, you know, if a man has that confidence to go out in the world and attack it, then your life is only going to be more benefited, you know, through, you know, both of you are going to benefit more if your man feels that way and has that confidence than if he doesn't.
For sure. Awesome. Is that it?
Sure. Yeah. I think that's about it.
Anything else?
No.
No? Good. Okay. Links down below for all of our things as usual. If you could rate and review the podcast, that would be great.
That'd be great.
That would be super helpful. We would
get us
appreciate
on the list.
That. Yes.
We need to get this message out there. People,
that's
come
right.
on.
And with that, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.